Welcome to this week's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog. Our topic today is why every soul needs spiritual sandpaper. What that means is that we all need Jesus more and more, no matter how old we get. We all have room to grow spiritually. The thing is, many of us miss the common, everyday opportunities for growth that often go unnoticed right under our noses. Spiritual growth isn't necessarily synonymous with long trials or suffering, and it doesn't always require long periods of practicing a single spiritual discipline. In fact, it often happens when we least expect it. The key is noticing the opportunities and letting the Holy Spirit use them for God's glory. Stay with me through the end of the message today, and I'll tell you about some more helpful spiritual growth resources. Now, let's explore this topic more. My grandfather was a master at furniture restoration, and even better at seeing hidden treasures among trash. He could transform an old wooden chair found at the garbage dump into a delicate turn-of-the-century masterpiece. And as a little kid, I was regularly astonished at what he brought home. A truck full of broken or ripped and often dirty furniture pieces would go into his workshop, only to emerge a few months later as pristinely restored antiques, capable of fetching top dollar from any one of the local interior design shops. I had a particularly close relationship with my grandfather because every year growing up, I stayed with them for at least a month during my summer breaks from school. One summer morning, I was hanging out in his workshop to watch him refinish an intricately carved piece of mahogany. Naively thinking that I could accomplish the same results, I asked him if there was something I could work on myself. I can still remember the knowing smile that came across his face as he looked up from his project. While I can't remember his response exactly, I think it went something like this. "Sure. I'll find something you can take home with you when you leave. Let's start on it tomorrow." The next day, he came home with a small, basic bookcase. And my face must have said it all, because I recall him saying something like, "Don't worry, when you're finished with it, it will look completely different. Let's go look for the tools that'll get the job done." My grandfather knew that experiencing the process of restoration and appreciating the value of hard work was more important to teach me than the actual refinishing skills or my desire to produce something ornate or beautiful. I didn't realize it at the time, but I wanted a shortcut to satisfaction. I wanted to be proud of myself and receive praise for my fine attention to detail. My grandfather, on the other hand, knew I needed to start with the basics and go through my own refinement process before I tried to tackle something that would only end in a mess if I attempted it right now. Not only would my little project end up being the opposite of what I envisioned, I would also learn nothing while simultaneously being terribly disappointed in myself. Like my grandfather, Jesus worked wood with his hands most of his life. The vast majority of what we read about him is described in the miraculous beginning of his life, or the 3 short years of his earthly ministry. But what about the other 29 years? Well, Jesus likely filled up 16 or 17 of those years by quietly shaping rough, inflexible wood into smooth, well-formed works of usefulness. His father, Joseph, would have begun Jesus' training in the workshop at a young age so that he could quickly move past the common errors of a naive apprentice and become a productive, income-generating member of the household. Jesus could have had any job, really, during his years of preparation and maturation. The whole point of years 1 through 29 was so that he could experience what we experience, being fully human and dealing with the hard realities of living in a sinful world with other people who do irritating and often unloving things to each other. The point was to live enough of the typical human journey to prove to us that he gets it. He knows living here is just plain hard and unfair, Therefore, I don't think it is particularly important that he was a carpenter, but it is certainly poetic. And our God does love a beautiful allegory. As humans, we relate to stories emotionally, which open up our hearts more quickly and more fully to not only hear truth, but also be vulnerable enough to let it sink in, to spark us to action. Because God chose to start his son's training with the hard physical realities of going to work every day to shape hard, unwilling objects, not to mention deal with cranky or unrealistic customers, Jesus undoubtedly learned the truth of allegory and how to apply it to real life very quickly. As a carpenter, Jesus learned at the deepest level, both emotionally and physically, what it meant to grow and mature as a human in this harsh climate of mistrust, betrayal, undeserved pain, loss, and longing. Therefore, we can rest assured that when we walk through trials, unsettling change, new projects, intense longing, waiting, or dealing with life-draining relationships, Jesus knows what it feels like and is shaping the situations to propel us into a new level of spiritual growth. In the book, How People Grow, which is the definitive work on the many facets and processes of spiritual development, authors Cloud and Townsend drive home the point over and over that life itself, with all its issues, ups and downs, is a classroom for growth taught by the Holy Spirit. Everything that happens in our lives, from the tiniest details to the most pivotal moments, is an opportunity for spiritual growth. All growth is spiritually related. Everything in our lives is spiritually connected. Our humanity and the activities and events that come with it cannot be separated from our hearts and souls. The various projects of life that Jesus allows to come our way are like the very sandpaper used to smooth out the rough edges of raw wood. The key lies in training ourselves to see it that way and then humbly and lovingly yielding to God's refining hand. Just as my grandfather did for me and Joseph did for Jesus, God is lovingly guiding us to trust him that the work he sets before us is for a reason. When our outlook is one filtered through love and trust, everything is an opportunity to mature our character, further purify our hearts, draw us into more dependency, and ultimately glorify God. Most days, we don't recognize the spiritual sandpaper that God brings into our lives. As it does with a tree, growth typically doesn't happen quickly or in huge spurts. It is the little moments of triumph that build over time to make us like a strong tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Psalms 1:3. What are some of the spiritual sandpapers that are just waiting for us to see? Virtually everything is a growth opportunity, no matter how minuscule or incremental. Most people realize that trials and suffering, regardless of their unpleasant nature, are necessary and significant means of growth. Romans 5:3 through 4. But some of the most common ones we miss are hard work, waiting, mistakes, longing or lack, and people. Variations of those things occur every day in all kinds of ways. I'll say that list again. Hard work, waiting, mistakes, longing or lack, and people. As you heard that again, maybe you felt a little nudge from the Holy Spirit about one of them or several of them. If you did, I encourage you to visit the actual blog post on my website, because there I've listed out each one with encouraging scriptures about them. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and finally brought them into the Promised Land over the Jordan River, Joshua 4 tells us that they planted a stone marker on the shores of rescue. In the same way, we need to record and treasure our mile markers of spiritual growth. We need to recall, revisit, and rejoice in each hard lesson learned. Why? So that the enemy's lies won't be successful later in whispering words of doubt in our ears about God's faithfulness and promises. So that we will remember how we got through something and avoid repeating the same mistakes. So that we can look back in times of discouragement and be strengthened for the journey ahead. And there are many more reasons. If I persuade you to do nothing else based on this message, then my prayer is that you at least try jotting down what God says to you, has done for you, and is teaching you on a somewhat regular basis. Whether it's a journal, the note app on your phone, sticky notes by your bed, whatever is convenient, find a way to capture your milestones and how you got there. It can be bullet points, sketches, fragments, or ramblings. Most of all, it does not have to be perfect, nor will it be shared. It's just between you and God. I still have that small, humble bookshelf that my grandfather and I made together. You might be wondering how it turned out. Well, it is indeed simple, but I think it's one of the most beautiful things I own. I love every blemish on it because they are mistakes that I made with my own hands, and my grandfather lovingly showed me how to correct as I moved forward. It has gone with me everywhere since that sweltering summer of rebirth. After I completed it, I learned later that my grandfather had stayed up late the night before, making it for me from old scrap wood left in the shop. Discarded, scarred planks that would have been burned in their old wood stove once the chill of autumn set in became something I have cherished for almost 30 years. It is the only thing I have that he made with his own hands, and I know that he sacrificed to make it just for me so that I would have the opportunity to grow, and that still brings tears to my eyes. He wasn't a man of many words, but his loving thoughtfulness and wisdom by example still echo in my life all these years later. The bookcase now sits in my favorite room in our house, the guest bedroom, and it is stocked with, you guessed it, books on spiritual growth. In some small way, my grandfather's gesture has touched every person who borrowed a book from the shelf. And while there's no way for me to know the full extent of the lessons he taught me, I do know the effects of the sandpaper he gave me that day yielded far greater results on shaping my young heart than it ever did on that bookcase. Thank you for listening to Glimmers in the Fog, which is based on the blog of the same name. My hope is that you will be encouraged to grow ever more dependent on God through these weekly stories of His involvement in our everyday lives. And if you happen to live in Southern Maine, I'll be leading a class this spring where we'll talk about some of the most important types of spiritual growth, including non-burdensome, joyful ways to capture what God is teaching you. More information about that and other online resources on spiritual growth are also included at the bottom of my blog post on my website. And while you're there, I would love for you to leave a comment or ask a question. And if something touched your heart in the message today, I encourage you to share it with someone else who could also benefit. Thank you again for listening to Glimmers in the Fog. I appreciate you more than you know.